SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
It's impossible to lead others till you first learn how to lead yourself. It applies to so many areas of our life. We're talking about it today with Chad Veach on SOS Radio. How are you, Chad?
Hey, we're doing good. Thanks so much for having me on the show, man.
So Chad is the founder and lead pastor of Zoe Church in Los Angeles. And for the entirety of your marriage, and your church is growing, your family's growing, you have four kids, you're adding campuses, and then your staff starts growing and you realize, help, I work with people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, everything's fine and dandy until, you know, you get a whole bunch of kids and staff and people. And, you know, there's a scripture that goes with that. Even it says, in Proverbs, where there are no oxen, the trough is clean. Translation, no people, no problem. More people, more problems.
It's funny because we all start out and we're like the worker bees, right? Whether you're leading a church, you're working at a radio station, or you're selling insurance or something, right? It's like you're the worker bees. Then one day you grow, you get a promotion, you work with more people. They're like, hey, you're kind of good at this. Why don't you like show these other guys how you do it? And the next thing you know, a year, two, 10 later, you're leading a bunch of people and you're like, I didn't really get a full amount of training on this. I'm just kind of figuring it out like everybody else is.
Exactly. But, you know, the reality is that, you know, that old saying is so true even to this day, manners maketh a man. And it's just about how do we treat people. It's very hard to ask people to respect you if you don't respect them. It's very hard to, you know, garner loyalty if you're not loyal to others. So I just think it goes back to just the age-old principles and values of life of how we're going to treat one another.
We're talking to Chad Veach today at SWS Radio. We're talking about working with people because life's messy, but you put a bunch of people in one room, you got a million different ideas. You got a million different opinions. And Chad, you just wrote a book about it. Help, I work with people, getting good at leadership, influence, and people skills. What is the toughest lesson you ever had to learn the hard way about leading people?
Well, I think the hardest thing I've ever done with leading others is first leading myself, which is so difficult. You know, it's like, it's easier said than done. I know what I want others to do, but I got to always start with myself. So, you know, if my company's not doing well, my organization doesn't have a lot of unity or morale, it always goes back to me. So I think the hardest part about leadership is the truth of how do you lead yourself? How do you figure that part out and get good at that?
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of times in our marriage, sometimes our wives are better leaders than we are, right? And I know your wife, she was a businesswoman. She was like buying and selling houses, doing real estate, and you're leading this church, and you get married, you have four kids, and you're thinking, okay, I've got a style, she's got a style. What have you learned about coming together to build a family style when you want to lead your kids?
Well, yeah, I think that's everything. You know, getting on the same page. One of the things we always talk about is, you know, being aligned. So much of life is alignment. So much of life is rhythm and harmony, being on the same page. So what I have learned is she is the boss. She is in charge. When I submit to her idea, you know, she's like the Holy Spirit in my life. So what I've learned about family values is, you know, just listening to one another, leaning in, trying to understand where the other person's coming from. And it's about 100% of the time I am wrong. And she is right. So that's how we've been able to try and build a family. But, you know, another thing is that you're always working on it. It's never like a meeting. You set it and then it just, you know, you just build. It's like something you're always conversating about, always taking inventory, always trying to lean into which kid is having a problem, needing some extra attention. And I heard someone say this, only as happy as my saddest kid. So, you know, if one of our kids isn't doing well, we've got to come together and figure out how do we get this guy to a healthy place? How do we get his behavior or his confidence or whatever the issue we're dealing with at a certain time? How do we get it healthy? So, yeah, it's help. I work with people. It's not like coworkers. How about our family? How about our spouses, boyfriend, girlfriend? We all of us are in the people business. People are around us constantly. And so instead of rather looking at like, oh, help, I work with people, got to be like, you know what? I want to be good at relating. I got to be good at winning others over. What I learned about life is you can't do life well and people wrong. If you want to do life well, you got to do people right. So I just figured let's get good at people skills.
Help, I work with people. We're talking with Chad Veach today at SWS Radio, and he has a brand new book. It's talking about leadership. It's talking about relationships. And it's also talking about leading ourselves. And Chad, just a minute ago, you were talking about leading the family. You know, you and your wife are trying to figure out your values that you want to instill in your kids. And it was interesting. The Southern Baptist Convention had a study about, like, our kids growing in their faith. And they said that 93% of us were more likely to make a decision to follow Jesus if our dad was saved first. And it's interesting because, like, when it's the mom who got saved first, it was about a 17% chance of finding the heart of God versus 93% chance when it was the dad whose heart was totally changed and aligned with Jesus. What have you learned about our responsibility as dads and trying to be spiritual leaders? Because it's tough a lot of times because you feel like my wife's way smarter than I am.
When you said that statistic, it made me think of where I got saved. I'm a pastor's kid. I grew up in church my whole life, but I really surrendered my life when I was 16 years old at Promise Keepers. And I don't know if you remember Promise Keepers, but remember this movement swept through America, and Promise Keepers was filling stadiums with men whose hearts were being changed towards serving God. So here I am, 16 years old, and I'm worshiping with 65,000 other men. And that's where I surrender my life. There's something about male leadership. There's something about the biblical principle. And I will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. So there's something about the father relationship and the father figure and the dad being the spiritual priest of the home. That is a biblical model. So I think it's a big deal and something I'm trying to model for my boys. I'm always trying to pray over them at night and try and bring up Jesus. You know, the other day, my son, he's having nightmares. And I try to tell my four-year-old, hey, buddy, don't worry about it. Dad's here to protect you. And he goes, Dad, come on. You can't protect me. You don't have superpowers. And I go, wow, you're very right. I go, but you know who can protect you is Jesus. And he goes, wow, you're right. Jesus can protect me because he has superpowers. So we laughed, but I thought, you know, at least my four-year-old has an idea that Jesus has superpowers.
It's funny because when we grow up, we feel like I'm supposed to have it all together. I'm supposed to know what to do because I felt like my dad knew what to do. And then I realized, wait, my dad was only like 25 years old when he had me. He didn't know what he was doing any more than I do now. And I got 15 years on him.
Isn't that something? And it's just like, you know, the older I get, the more grace I have for my dad. He was doing the as good a job as he could and didn't have the best father, didn't have any model of what a good father, let alone a spiritual father, would look like. So the job that my dad did, the older I get, the more I just tip my cap and go, wow, you crushed it. All three of your kids are now senior pastors serving God. You did something right.
You know, people may not remember what you said, but they always remember how you make them feel, right? That's that famous quote from Maya Angelou. And we're talking with Chad Veach today from Zoe Church in Southern California, also a best-selling author. Just wrote a book called Help, I Work With People. And Chad, when we're in relationships with people, we have breakthroughs because God cares about people. God changes our hearts. And we're in this weird divisive time where everybody has an opinion and everybody's talking, but no one's really listening.
Well, you know, I think that's why we need to just embody three values right now. We need to listen, we need to learn, and then we need to lead. And it starts with listening. You already nailed it. You know, we're so quick to speak and so slow to listen. We should be the opposite. We should be slow to speak and quick to listen. And so we got to listen to people that have been oppressed, people that have experienced racism, people that have gone through, you know, a horrible prison, you know, injustice. And we got to listen to people that are hurting and we got to learn. We got to educate ourselves. How do we get here? What does police reform look like? What does prison reform look like? We got to educate ourselves, you know, systemic racism. What is that? How do we, you know, get to the core of that? And then we need to lead. We need to lead our children. We need to lead our homes. We need to lead our communities, our churches into a place of equality. And even further than that, into a place of healing. You know, racism is sin. So racism is a gospel issue. The solution to racism is not just police or prison reform. The first solution is Jesus. He needs to be the first thing that washes us, heals us, restores us. And we cannot give love away that we don't first receive. The work of a believer is receiving. So the hardest part of right now is how do I allow Jesus to love me so much so that I can love my neighbor as myself. So it starts first with Jesus, and then we can bring the change that we need. Barack Obama said it best. You know, being an activist is not posting on social media. Being an activist is being active. Well, I think for believers, it starts with being active in our faith. How do we have conversations with people where we can listen, learn, and lead?
Yeah, and it's so interesting because when we invite Jesus into the center, he becomes greater, we become less, right? When we ask Jesus into our heart and we're saying, Holy Spirit, change my heart, we're surrendering to something, saying, you know what? I realize there's some things in me that aren't good, and there's some things in me that I want to change, and maybe I've tried and some of that on my own energy and I've made some progress, but there's another part where I need transformation, and that's different than just change.
That's it. That's it. I need transformation. And the reality is that watching the media too much, watching culture too much, that's not the change that we first need. But the scripture refers to it. Romans 12, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So the thinking that we need in our culture and in our lives comes first from being transformed by the grace of Jesus.
Well, time is money. The early bird gets the worm. Oh, there's so many ridiculous sayings about success and what leadership looks like in a year like this. And we're talking about when we're working with people. We're talking about when we need a refill, when we need a reset in this weird season that we've been walking through this summer. And we're talking with author and pastor Chad Veach on SOS Radio. And Chad, in your new book, it's called Help I Work With People. You talk about a few bold thoughts that sort of feel contradictory to some of those cliches we grow up hearing about working harder, you know, believe in yourself, grind, sell, always be closing. You know, you talk about investing in time off, and you talk about building unproductivity into your schedule if you really want to break through.
You know, it's just the reality. You know, one of the sayings that we try and lead by is, if you ain't rested, you ain't ready. And, you know, if you want to do a good hard day's worth of work, well, then go to sleep, you know. And so there's something about rest. There's a reason why God commanded one whole day of rest. And so it's not an option. It's an essential thing. So I think that we go so hard in our culture and we are so busy. I was so proud of myself on Sunday. Every Sunday, I get the notification on my phone of how many hours and minutes I was on my phone per day. And this last week or on Sunday, it notified me I was down 20% in my phone usage. I almost did a praise lap because I'm not trying to increase my time on my phone. I'm trying to decrease my time. And so it's so important that we live in an era where mental health is such a big idea and value. And so how do we get mental health? It's not by burning the candle at both ends and grind mode. Work hard. We've got to play hard. We've got to rest well. We've got to get in community. We've got to do the things that fill our soul. The Bible says, beloved, I pray that your soul may prosper in all things. Well, how do you soul prosper? It's not by working 80-hour weeks or 65-hour weeks. You've got to find a little bit of balance to bring great health.
If you ain't rested, you ain't ready. We're talking with author Chad Veach today at SWS Radio. And just a few minutes ago, you were talking about how we reset and we learn to lead ourselves so we're in a healthy space that we can lead our family and we can influence others. And Chad, do you see a difference between refilling your tank when you're physically tired versus like when you're soul tired?
You know, absolutely. I think those are two different things. I think you could sleep in 8 hours, 9 hours a night and still be soul tired. So I think you got to differentiate and find the buckets of your life. When the Bible says, beloved, I pray your soul may prosper in all things, it's talking about all things, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and even materialistically. So you've got to find a way to go, okay, am I depleted in my emotions? Or maybe I'm spiritually bankrupt. Maybe it's physically that I just need a night to stay in and rest in a day of, you know, just lounging around. You got to identify what it is.
When we're physically tired, we can do things like eat better, right? And we can, you know, sleep and we can work out a little bit. And then when we get into the soul tired part, I think there's an element of community that also like charges us up in different ways too.
I always think it's a cocktail of decisions that will get you into a mess. It's a cocktail of decisions that will get you into health. It's never one thing. It's always small things that add up to a really big thing. So the little things make way for the big, and that's in the negative or the positive. So we got to make small, wise decisions to bring ourselves to the best version of ourselves.
You know, if you serve people and you don't use people, you'll always have great people all around you. It's something I've heard Chad Veach say before. He's actually on the phone right now on SWS Radio. Chad, when our world wandered into this whole quarantine season, we found that there was a lot of secondary effects of like isolation. You know, we question our own self-worth. We feel lonely. You start to realize there's fears there that you never thought you would fear. And you wonder, like, I've got these layers underneath the surface and I don't even want to talk about them because they're kind of like first world problems, but I need people in my life and it's hard right now. What do you suggest that we do to reset when we start to feel that isolation?
Yeah, I think that we need to be very aware right now. You know, one of the verses that I love so much in Proverbs, it says, a man that isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wisdom. So what is the Bible teaching us here? It is saying the dumbest thing you can do. You are raging against wisdom when you live in isolation. Why? Because when you're in isolation, you can get picked off from the enemy. And so community, although it is messy, it is necessary. There is no perfect community. There is no community that's just flawless. But I think friendship is tested, not just on the mountaintop of success, but it's tested in the valley of despair. So I've got to get into a community that's willing to rejoice with me when it's time to rejoice and mourn with me when it's time to mourn. But I can't experience the thrills and the heartache of relationship until I'm willing to be with people on the mountaintop and the valley. Hey, right now, it's a valley season. Come on, COVID-19, protests, pandemics. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's all right. What kind of new and even greater relationships can be forged through the worst seasons of our life? When we get to the other side, it's like, I know I can be successful around these people because they bled with me.
You're clear to go.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store.
The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.